Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, it's time for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Oh my, I'm glad you dropped by this week. Man, and we got a lot of things to talk about. It's been a fun week in the computer world, and here you are, ready to hear all about it. And why? Because you want to hear the latest, the greatest, in technology. And of course, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and as such, we like to share with you what other podcasts offer that are members of the Tech Podcast Network. Boy, getting off to a good start when my tongue starts getting all twisted up this early in the podcast. You know it's going to be a good one, don't you? All right. Let's hear from Lance Heath with the Digital Experience Podcast and find out what he has for us.
Right now, an important announcement.
Experts agree that some listeners have not yet subscribed to the Digital Experience Podcast and say these people are missing out on some of the best technology news, information, and commentary available in podcasting today, as well as the hottest and independent bands on the planet. Do you want to be the one that isn't getting the best tech news updates delivered right to your computer? I don't think so. The latest breaking news on gadgets, software, industry leaders, and more can only be found on the Digital Experience Podcast. To subscribe, go to digitalexperiencepodcast.com and click on the subscribe links, or use iTunes and search for Digital Experience Podcast and click the subscribe button now. Don't miss out. Subscribe today and be in the know in the best tech news and best fans around. The Digital Experience Podcast. Subscribe today.
Subscribe today. Oh, yeah, Lance, I get it. Well, you know, though, I will say this. I really like Lance's podcast, and he's a great member of the Tech Podcast Network. But Lance, the Digital Experience Podcast isn't the only place you can find out about all this tech stuff. You can also find out about it right here on the Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon Podcast. If Dr. Bill could ever get his tongue untied where he can speak clearly. And who knows, that may one day happen. We can only hope. All right, well, let me share some geeky goodness with you. You know, I like to share with you geek culture. And you know that geek culture involves the plethora of experience that there is to be had on the internet, including things that aren't necessarily legal. Now, what might that be? There are people who share songs, MP3 files, over the internet with people that have not bought those songs. Shame, shame, shame. You shouldn't be doing that. You should only listen to music that you have purchased the right to listen to by buying the CD, or in some other way, if you use iTunes and download a song that you paid your 99 cents for, whatever you have paid, which that payment goes ultimately to the people who produced the song, the person who sang it, whatever. You need to pay your way and not expect it all to be free. And that file sharing phenomenon has gotten the industry, the recording industry, all bent out of shape, including the Recording Industry Association of America, the RIAA. And they have really been out there suing grandmas and suing kids and suing everybody, suing their socks off. I mean, they just been, if it moved, they sued it. They've even sued a few people that didn't even have a computer, and yet they accused them of downloading files off the internet. They didn't have a computer. They didn't have an internet connection. They were just sitting there at their house, and people show up with a subpoena. Okay, bad news, all right? But it is that essential issue of file sharing that causes the problem. If you break the law, you know, it's like the old saying, if you're going to do the crime, you got to do the time. Okay? So don't just go out blithely sharing files with each other illegally. Here's a little song about that phenomenon of file sharing.
I've got MP3, so it's not a surprise. I got mailed with hundreds of files on my hard drive. I've been sharing files and files and files. Trading songs with people who live so far away.
Sorry about it skipping there.
Getting nailed by the lawyers of the RIAA. Did what I had to do to save a buck or two. But was it all worthwhile? 'Cause now I'm on trial. I've been sharing files and files. I've been sharing files and files. I've been sharing files and files and files and files and files. I've been sharing files and files. I've been sharing
You get the idea. Sorry for the skipping in there. It was a bad recording. But I just happened to find this on the internet and I thought it was kind of cool. If you're out there sharing files, remember, if you're going to do the crime, you're going to have to do the time. Yep. Just because you got those files on your hard drive doesn't mean you have to share them with every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there on the internet. Yeah, that's, you know, tom@bogus.net, harry@bogus.net. Yeah, okay, you understand. All right, I just wanted to share that with you, a little bit of geek culture. And, you know, I'm not really thrilled about the RIAA out there suing everybody and his brother and grandma and so forth. See, what they need to understand is we're in the 21st century. All content of all kinds, whether it's audio, television, everything, it's going to be delivered over the internet. If they would change their paradigm to the idea of no longer selling a piece of plastic with, you know, silver etching on it in a little box, to the idea of selling files online, then they wouldn't have the issues they're having. They're trying to hold on to the old. And, you know, when cars came along, the people that made buggy whips went out of business. Now, it's a real shame those people that made the buggy whips went out of business, but that's just the way it is. When technology changes, you got to keep up with the technology. And, of course, that's what Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is here to share with you, are the joys of technology. Yes, indeed. And for our first Joy of Technology celebration this week, let's do a Geek Software of the Week. Now, this story, I have to give you a little background about, okay? I am an interesting individual. I will do things sometimes just for the fun of it that's maybe a little strange. You know, in the song that Weird Al Yankovic did about, it's all about the Pentiums, there's one lyric in the song there where he says that he defrags his hard drive for fun. Well, that's me. I defrag my hard drive for fun. I know that's weird, that's strange, but I do system management kinds of things and just do it for fun. And other little geeky funny things I do is that occasionally I will Google myself. Have you ever Googled yourself? Sounds slightly wrong, doesn't it? No, to Google yourself means go to Google, google.com, type in your name, and see what is out there about you. First of all, are they really talking about you, or are they talking about somebody with your same name? Now, if your name is Sam Smith, you know, probably it's going to be about somebody else that's a Sam Smith, okay? Now, my name is really common. When you think about it, Bill Bailey, Bill Bailey. Fairly simple name. You know, Pearl Bailey had a song many years ago called Bill Bailey, Won't You Please Come Home. And so as a kid growing up, people sang that song to me all the time. Now, I'm 50 years old. Most people today don't even remember that song. You know, I'll say, my name's Bill Bailey. You know, just like the song. And they go, what song? So I've quit saying that. Used to, I'd say that to kind of break the ice. And, you know, it's one of those things like, this happened to me a lot. I would walk in and they'd say, hello, I'm so-and-so. And I'd say, hi, I'm Bill Bailey. And they'd go, oh, Bill Bailey, won't you please come home? And like they're the first person that ever made that association and heard the song. It can get really tiring after a while, okay? So, I got to where I did a preemptive strike. I would introduce myself, say, hello, my name's Bill Bailey, you know, just like the song. That way they couldn't come back and say, oh, just like the song. And then you stand there and go, yeah, you idiot, just like the song. But see, now they don't even know there was a song. You know, won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home? I never meant to. What, I don't even remember all the lyrics. But anyway, that's the song. And so people would always sing it to me, and they always talk to me about it, and on and on and on. And I got real tired of it. Matter of fact, I got so tired of it at one point that in school, in elementary school, I had them change my name in the records in school from Bill Bailey, which was my common name that everybody used, my parents, everybody, my whole family used Bill Bailey, to my full legal name, which was William Bailey. Because for some reason, people don't understand that William is the full name and Bill is the shorter version of William. For some reason that doesn't click with some people, and so they don't understand that William Bailey is Bill Bailey. So as a kid, I kind of hid behind my full name and had people, I still to this day run into people that I met in elementary school that say, hi William, how you doing? And I almost don't even turn around because everybody calls me Bill. So that's how much it irritated me at the time. So anyway, I digress. The point is that I like to Google myself. And if you go to Google and you type in Bill Bailey, most of the references on the first page are going to be about a Scottish comedian named Bill Bailey, not about me. Okay, I am on the first page, but I'm kind of about the seventh reference down. So, okay, I'm not that famous. And Bill Bailey, the Scottish comedian, who was the voice of the whale in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the movie. Okay, he's a little more famous than I am, alright, okay. But if you type Dr. Dr. period Bill Bailey, the entire first page of Google is about me. Okay. Okay, that's a little weird. Okay, I'm sorry. But it's fun. I Google myself. That's the point. So, let's get back to the story. So, I was doing that one day, and there's a way you can use Google to find out who has linked to you. Did you know that? So if you have a website, let's say you have a website called thecomputercurmudgeon.com. I know somebody that has a website called thecomputercurmudgeon.com. It's me, Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. So, what you do is you go to I'm trying to get ahead of my words again, and my tongue just keeps tripping over itself. You know, Granny Clampett once said that when that happens, you need to prune your tongue. I would rather avoid that. So I will try to speak more clearly to avoid my tongue getting pruned. Okay. Here's what you do. You go to google.com, google.com. You put the word link, colon, and then no spaces, http://www.thecomputercurmudgeon.com. What's that going to do? That's going to show you all the websites that have linked to your website. Ha ha, neat little trick, huh? Yeah. And that way you find out who's linking to you. And so I did that recently just to see who out there is linking to Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. And I found a guy who has a blog who had a link to the blog entry I did on all the software that I recommend people run on their personal computer. And I thought that was really cool that he did that. Now, that was a whole lot of stuff to get to that little point of information, wasn't it? Yeah, I probably could have made that shorter. Yeah, probably could have, but I didn't. So anyway, here's the thing. He wrote this article, and in the article he said that he agreed with every single one of my recommendations. Dude! Except one. Horrors. He disagreed with one. And that was the text editor. Now, as I've told you before, I seem to be on a holy quest to find the perfect text editor that has all the features that I'm looking for. And this week's Geek Software of the Week is, in fact, that text editor. It's not the one he recommended, by the way. In his blog article, he recommended a text editor called JEdit, which is a JavaScript program which I found to be too painfully slow to use. Sorry, dude. Okay? But in his discussion of that, as people were commenting on his blog entry and referred to another forum and various places, as I followed the trail, I found somebody recommended a text editor called PSPAD. Capital P, capital S, lowercase PAD, PSPAD. Dude! This text editor rocks! Now you may say, Dr. Bill, you are a very strange individual to get so excited about a stupid text editor. Look, don't knock it till you've tried it, all right? Download PSPAD. Download the Spellcheck Dictionary, which is a separate download, which is kind of a shame, but it's because it's in all these different languages. They support so many different languages, it blows your mind. But at any rate, this thing has got features in it like you would not believe. Things like the global search and replace stuff that I like, the macro stuff that I like, all these things that all my other text editors have always had that I really liked about them. But this one, it highlights the HTML meta tags if you're working on an HTML document. It will highlight all the various tagging of all the various other programming languages you might be using. It will do spell checking. It has HTML tidy built in so that if you're editing an HTML document, it will go out and it will correct all the HTML weird meta tag errors you made. It just does everything in that one program that has to do with editing text. It's just awesome. So try this text editor. I can't even begin to tell you all the features. I could spend the entire podcast talking about all the features of this text editor. It will blow your mind. And you may say, Dr. Bill, it has obviously blown your mind. Yeah, well, maybe. But you gotta look at it, dude. It's really awesome. Check it out. Okay. Geek Software of the Week is PSPAD. It officially replaces Notepad++ on my list of recommended software for PCs. Take Notepad++ off, even though it is still pretty good, and put PSPAD in its place. I have removed Notepad++ from all of my computers and now have PSPAD there, and I use it every single day over and over and over. It's that good. Okay. Particularly if you edit web pages. Dude, this thing. Oh, it's awesome. Okay, next item. Check out the new start menu coming to KDE. This is a proposal. It's not official yet, but it's called Kickoff. And this thing is cool. There's a flash animation of how it works. You've got to click on the link and watch this flash animation as they go through this start menu. You know how Windows has a start menu and taskbar thing? You click on start and it opens up and you can go to the various programs. This thing's awesome. You ought to try this. It's amazing. It's being developed for SUSE Linux, and the guy did a flash animation of it, and it's just really cool to watch. So I'd encourage you to go out and check out that flash. Click on it and watch it. It's cool. And speaking of which, let's go to our next item. Conclusion of an article. Linux on the desktop isn't just for geeks anymore. Now, I know, believe me, that Linux has not been ready for prime time for most people's desktop. They've got what they call the grandma factor when it comes to desktops. That is, can your ordinary non-tech grandma sit down and understand how to navigate the program and do something and actually accomplish something with the operating system. And let's face it, Linux has been just a little too geeky for that level of user. Okay, the level of user that basically has no clue. Okay, now, here's the thing about clueless people. Okay, now I'm not talking about your grandma. Don't you think that I'm running your grandma down, all right? But I'm just talking in general about your basic, normal, clueless person. Okay? In order to write a program that is going to be capable enough to get around people's cluelessness, to make them productive, that ends up being a very sophisticated, you're treading a line there that is very hard to do, basically, is what it boils down to, okay? So here's the issue when it comes to having an operating system that even the clueless can get things done with. You gotta give some props to Windows, because most people have been able to eventually get productive. I'm sorry, geeks. I'm sorry. Believe me, this pains me to say this. But Windows tends to have the ability to make people more productive because they just inherently understand the stupid way you have to do things in Windows. Maybe it's just that you get used to it. And so maybe we've all adapted to the Windowsology of Windows, okay? But whatever it is, Linux has been unable to cross that threshold of bringing computing to the clueless. And there's a reason for that. The reason is most Linux geeks don't want to lower the operating system to the level of the clueless. But I say unto you that this is what needs to happen. We need to get over it, okay? All Linux geeks, you just need to get over it. We're going to have to dumb down the interface. We're going to have to dumb down the operating system because there's more of the clueless than there are of those of us who know what's going on. Okay? It's just a matter of numbers. 98% of people in the world are dumb. Okay? Just accept it. It's a truism. So you take your 98% of the people in the world that are dumb, that's your major audience. And so if you're going to write an operating system, you got to write that operating system so that the dumb can use it. Okay? Think about it. It's the way it is. If you're going to have a market, see, market share is all about numbers. Think with me here. Go with the flow on this. Think with me. It's about numbers. If Windows has 98% of the market in operating systems, it's because they've reached the clueless. The dumb of the world have accepted Windows. So what are we going to do? The 2% of us that can use Linux effectively and productively, what are we going to do? Are we going to sit back and go, you people are so stupid you can't use Linux. Get over it. Come on. Learn what you need to learn. Learn about configuring your kernel. Learn about configuring your files and so forth. Why can't you get this? Instead of getting all upset, we're going to have to dumb it down. Breathe with me now. That's right. Deep cleansing breaths. Yes. Here's the thing. You got to get over it. I'm sorry, geeks. It's just going to have to be that way. Now, currently, there are three major contenders for dumbed down versions of Linux. I'm sorry. Again, the technology involved in dumbing down an operating system so that the clueless can use it is pretty doggone impressive. So don't you go thinking that just because it's a dumbed down interface that it isn't very technically capable. It has to be, in my mind, more technically capable to make the clueless productive. Okay? So here's the thing. SUSE Linux, Ubuntu Linux, and FreeSpire Linux. Those three are currently considered the ones that have the chance of breaking over and getting outside the geek world to the regular human world. Yeah. Now, let me give you a real-world example. I have a customer. As you may know, I have a hosting company, and I have a computer consulting company, and I work with people and help them with their systems. And it is very frustrating as a computer consultant to be called into someone's home, and there is their beloved computer sitting on their desktop, and it's so slow they can't even use it. Nope, don't adjust your sound. That was me doing an effect of slowness. And they complain, I just bought this computer 6 months ago, and it was so fast, and it was just so good, but now it's just dragging, and nothing works, and I click on something, and something else pops up. Can you fix it, Dr. Bill? And I go, worry not, my son. I can indeed fix your computer. And it's like the light shines from heaven, and they go, oh, hallelujah. I have seen the light. And so I fix it. 6 months later, they call me up. Dr. Bill, my computer's slow again. This happens over and over. And you know what it is. They clicked on the bad window, the bad website. They clicked on an attachment. They've gotten their computer eat up with spyware. They've gotten their computer eat up with viruses. Things are popping up, and they're not even touching the mouse or the keyboard. Their computer's been totally taken over and has become a bot that's spreading junk throughout the internet. In basically putting it very simple, it has been eaten up with evil. And I must be called in to exorcise the evil from the computer. And of course I do. But then 6 months later, I'm back again. And I had one customer who basically said, look, all right, look, I have had you come in over and over and over, and you've told me what not to click on, and you've told me what not to open in terms of attachments, and you've told me not what software not to use and what software I should use, and I just can't seem to do it. Okay, look, is there anything I can do that will make it to where my computer won't get eaten up? And the little light bulb over my head goes, ding! Well, yes, actually there is, if you're willing to run Linux on your computer, then you won't get spyware, you won't get viruses, and everything will run fine. Really? Yes. But there is a downside, and that downside is that if you go to CompUSA and see this really cool little program, as you go through the checkout line, that's, you know, like a couple of bucks, and you go, ooh, look, I'll get that. It's not going to run on your computer once I install Linux. But if all you're doing is surfing the web, and all you're doing is reading your email, and all you're doing is IMing people, and all you're doing is listening to MP3s and watching videos, then I can get you a Linux machine on your same box. I can save all your data off of it, set you up with Linux, and you'll be all right. And he said, let's do it. I said, dude, rock on. So we did. I installed FreeSpire on his machine. I'm waiting to hear with bated breath. As a matter of fact, I've asked him several times, how's it going? He says, I haven't plugged it in yet. You know, it's obviously not a big issue with him, but I want to see how that goes. That's going to be a great experiment because Joe User, will he be able to use FreeSpire and be productive? I'll let you know how it turns out. But according to this article that I linked to, the state of the 2006 Linux desktop is very close to being where it needs to be the operating system of the clueless. We're getting really close. All right, we're running out of time very quickly. Let me cover a couple of more items. Do you think virus and spyware infections are just a nuisance? You know, I was just telling you about how every 6 months or so people come back. Try the fact that it costs PC users $7.8 billion a year. Not M million, B billion dollars a year to get your computer repaired or to reinstall the software or whatever it takes. That is a shame. But that's just where we are. Last item, IE7, Internet Explorer version 7, is close to release. Microsoft announced that IE7 release candidate 1 is available for download, and a lot of pundits are saying it is ready for actual primetime usage. So, at this point, if you have a person that absolutely, positively refuses to use Firefox, they just say it's going to be Internet Explorer or forget it, please tell them to go to Microsoft.com/IE and download Internet Explorer 7 and use it. Now, if you're using Firefox, just forget it. Go on, never mind. But if you got people, and you know who they are, people who say, this is a Microsoft operating system, I'm going to use a Microsoft web browser, they need to download IE7 because it is safer, it has a lot more security features, it's just better than IE6. Okay? So go ahead, download the release candidate. We're that close to it being officially released, and from what I've heard, it's very solid. But between you and me, just go ahead and use Firefox, okay? All right. I forgot to mention, this is podcast number 51. Do you realize what that means? Next week, yes indeed, next week is podcast number 52. That is the one-year anniversary of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. And remember, I said there was going to be a giveaway. I said there was going to be something really special. Watch the blog in this upcoming week. Listen closely. Watch the blog. Watch the blog. This week, there's going to be a form that you can fill out, put your name, address, and email address. And I'm not going to use it to spam you. I'm not going to give it to anybody. I'm not going to sell it to anybody. But that's going to be the entry for a contest. We're going to have a contest celebrating the first full year of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the podcast. And we're going to have a special cool geeky prize for you when you fill out that form. Dude, rock on. It's going to be cool. So watch for the link. The contest link, it's coming to the blog. Check it out, and you will see it's going to be there. Yes. Watch the blog. Watch the pretty blog. Yeah. There's the music. Must be time to leave. Oh, boy, it's past time to leave. Okay, here we go. Remember, till next week, the doctor is out of here.